Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You see, this is not a time for us to be nominal. This is not a time in the day and age where we live for us just to be routine. We exercise disciplines, and I know we get into a routine. And you know as well as I do, the temptation for any of us is that when we are in a routine, sometimes we forget the motivation of why we're doing things that are very important, things that are very meaningful, especially when it comes to our spiritual walk, our faith in God, our life at church. I want the Lord to be present in this room this morning. That's really what I want. And in some way, maybe this is a very different message, and I don't know that it's a sermon, and I'm not real, to be honest with you, I'm not real bent out of shape whether you call this a sermon or pastor shared, or I don't really care. You can call it whatever you want. But we've been praying for a visitation of God to be among us, to have the opportunity to taste of Him in a deeper walk, a deeper experience. And, you know, I started thinking over times in my life where, you know, we believe that God is always with us because He's everywhere and He's gracious and kind, and there's this common grace of God even upon our country. But I look at times in my life where it's like God got close, or God came and visited something that was out of the norm or what was normal for me. I remember growing up as a kid and going to church. And please, this is not a criticism. It was just something I experienced. I remember growing up and going to church and going to Sunday school from when I was small. I mean, I heard the stories, you know. They took me in when I was a toddler and mom and dad turned to leave and I screamed and kicked a teacher in the leg. I mean, you know, that's how old, surely it's the truth, you know. And I stopped doing that, by the way. And I remember one of my school teachers, Mrs. Disselhurst was her name. She was about 6'4", Norwegian lady. You wouldn't kick her. I remember going to church and being faithful in attending and all those things. I remember even going through catechism. I remember that. Then I remember visiting another church to go visit because they had some special services going on. And when all of a sudden, something happened that I didn't anticipate or expect. I mean, prior to that, I mean, I believed in God as a kid, that He existed, and, you know, we prayed to Him and read the Scripture. But when I showed up at this place where they were having these services of praise and worship, they sang songs I never heard. I saw people raise hands. I never saw that before. Things were very different. People would go to the front to receive prayer or to respond in faith to say, you know what, I need God to forgive me. There was this revelation. There was this presence that was in the room. I was a kid. Nobody talked me into this. This is just a kid who's having a revelation and a personal experience that moved me from where I was at in my faith. There were experiences after that in my life that moved me along. I mean, I still had to read the Scripture and still had to pray and worshiped and had to, you know, with His help, be faithful and discover what this walk of faith was all about, but I still needed experiences with God throughout the years. And I want you to know something. You're looking at a man this morning who still desires experiences with God. This isn't just about a head knowledge. It's not even just about having sentiment in our heart. It's about having experiences with God. Experiences where we discover the revelation of His Scripture and that it applies to my life today. It's about having experiences with God, and those experiences are based on Him being present with us. I know there's this common grace of God's presence, but it's like I want to get close to Him. I want Him to come to my life. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to touch me. I want and need Him to still change me. I need Him to answer my wife's prayers for me. You know, we look throughout the Gospels that when Jesus was here on earth and when He showed up at places, things transpired. Things happened. Some people got healed. Some people ran around and told the story. Some people believed in Him. Some people got mad. Some people tried to discredit Him. I don't think for a moment that when God shows up in a church and begins to do things His way and take us sometimes out of nominal church or our regular routine, I don't think for a moment that, well, if God does it, everybody's just going to be happy about it. I used to think that. And then I watched God do that in places and in people's lives, and I discovered that not everybody was happy about it. And I looked in the Scripture and I was reminded that Jesus Himself was there in all these places and not everybody was happy about it. What He said and how He did things, all I know is that those who believed and responded to Him were very happy. They found life. They found healing. They found words that gave them hope, words that weren't just false promises, but they were manifested in their life, this faith, this ongoing faith, and revelation upon revelation, and making good on the grace and the mercy that God has shown them. You know, when Jesus showed up, things happened. I mean, you could pick just about any chapter in the Gospels. I mean, I consider like Matthew chapter 8. You know, Jesus shows up, a leper comes and kneels before Him, and, you know, Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And He says, you know, all you have to do is touch me, and I'll be clean. Jesus touched the man, and his leprosy left him. He was healed. One of the things I want you to note is that the man came to Jesus. We know God's love for us has caused Him to send His Son to us. But you know, there's still a response on our part. It's about finding Him. It's about coming to Him. It's about reaching out to Him, no matter if there's an audience around or not. Don't be inhibited this morning because there are people here. What a wonderful deception of the enemy against us. Wonderful, not in a good sense. That, well, what will people think of you? I mean, maybe you're a very private person. Maybe you're a little bit on the stoic side, and that's okay. It's a little bit of your personality, but understand that just sitting back and staying away from God, saying God understands, isn't going to cut it. It's about responding to Him. It's about reaching to Him. It's about looking for Him. It's about saying, I have a need, and I need God. I need God greater than I need to keep this reputation I think I have with people. After, in Matthew 8, after He heals this leper, it goes on to say that He arrived at Peter's home. And when He came to Peter's house, his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was sick and in bed and with a fever. Jesus goes over and rebukes the fever. The mother-in-law gets up. She's fine. She's healthy, and she goes about her normal routine and day and begins to make food and serve them and all of this. There are times that we need to reach to God, and there are times that God comes to us and we need to respond to Him. You know, after this, they get in a boat and they're going across the sea, and a storm stirs up, and all the disciples are kind of, you know, they're a little bit fearful. They're a little scared. And now this is a storm at sea. You have to remember, some of them were fishermen. They've been out there in bad weather before. But when they start to get filled with anxiety, you know that the storm is bad. And they wake Jesus and say, hey, we're all going to die. And Jesus gets up, goes to, I don't know if he's on the bow of the boat or whatever. He gets up and walks out there and he rebukes the storm. Maybe you're in crisis or you're in a storm this morning. And you need the Lord to show up to calm the storm in your life. Or calm the storm that's going on in here. That empowers you to walk through the storms that are out here in our life. They show up after this and they come to shore and they get out and there's a couple of demoniacs that hang around the cemetery, put it in those terms in our vernacular. And he rebukes the demons and the men go free. Their life changed. The presence of God, Jesus showed up. You go into Matthew 9, and a centurion guard, a Roman guard, a centurion, comes to Jesus. Get this, Roman centurion comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I have a servant at home who is paralyzed. I need you to give the word so that my servant would be healed. And Jesus says, come on, let's go to your home. And the centurion says, I am not worthy of you coming into my home. But I understand, because I'm in the military, I understand authority. And if you just give the word, Jesus, my servant will be healed. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to touch my servant. All you have to do is say it. Speak it. Will it. Jesus turns to the crowd around. He did this in front of people. He turns and says to the crowd, I have never seen such faith like this. And so Jesus gives the word, and the centurion goes home, and the servant is no longer paralyzed. When Jesus shows up, so let me ask you this, because God is spirit, Scripture says so, what if God's spirit shows up in this room? You see, it's not a time to be nominal. It's not a time just to sit back and say, well, here I am if God wants to do it. You know, he knows where I'm at. What about coming to him? The Bible says if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. You and I need to think periodically, and this is not something new that I'm sharing with you, but we need to think periodically, am I really reaching for God? Am I really pursuing him? It's not just showing up here at church. I mean, that's a beginning step, but once we're here, are we going after him? Are we responding to him when he shows up in this room? Because, you know, Jesus showed up and certain people responded to him and some who were there didn't. So when he shows up in this room and when his spirit begins to move in this room, are you going to respond to him? Or say, you can pass my role, or pass me, or not for me. And why would we be so shocked when God begins to do these things among us or in our life? I mean, Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah and says, you know, you've anointed me to preach good news. You've anointed me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You've anointed me to set the oppressed free, to bring freedom to captives. You've anointed me to give sight to the blind. And Jesus says that prophecy from Isaiah is fulfilled in him. Listen, Psalm 16, verse 11, part of the verse says that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let me ask you, who is at God's right hand? In Christ, in his presence is a fullness and a richness. A fullness and a richness. In his presence there is a completeness of joy. It is amazing when we look at the things that we go through in this life that are very difficult. And some of you have told me stories of, you know, I had somebody come to me and they knew what I was going through and they said, how can you act like you are? How can you stay calm? How can you seem to be at peace when you're going through this? Well, a person of his presence, there is a fullness of joy, a fullness of peace. There's a completeness. What if his presence shows up in this room? What might he do? A fullness of joy. I mean, some of us, maybe we don't have a particular need, but I'll tell you what, the joy of God needs to return to his people. We all have our moments. On occasion, I can get crabby. I hate it. I don't think it's too terribly often, just by my own measurement, you know, measuring myself by myself. But it can happen. I hate it. When that starts to happen to me, I don't like me. I hate it. I want to change it. I mean, I love people, but crabby people? I'm sorry. You know, I had the privilege of doing a wedding yesterday of Dustin Rogers and Chelsea Spaeth, who is now Chelsea Rogers. And people made some comments to me, and then I heard through other people that they commented to them that, boy, they sure enjoyed the service. They enjoyed the wedding ceremony. Some made, you know, all those grand comments that, you know, it was the most wonderful wedding they were ever at. And I don't know if that stuff's true, but I'll tell you what. The general consensus was kind of like that. And let me tell you part of why. I mean, obviously, all the credit goes to God. I'm not patting myself on the back here, but you know what? In that ceremony, I was happy and it was fun. I don't know. Some people, they thought, I've never been around a pastor who could smile and crack some jokes. And it was a celebration. It was, hey, listen, it was a wedding. It wasn't a funeral. It helped people. The joy of the Lord needs to return to his people. The joy of his salvation. The joy of experiences with him because he's present in the room. The joy that hits somebody when they find out, I went back to the doctor and he can't believe it. My cancer's gone. Those testimonies, and I've heard those testimonies about that very disease. First, they kind of weep because they're just so grateful. And then they get really happy. And then you know what? They tell people. It's what they do. I want you to know something about cancer, as evil as it is. It doesn't damn people, but sin does. And when sin has been healed in us, that is an eternal thing. How much joy, how much gratitude, how much peace. The important thing is in place. The rest of it, trials, tribulation, all that, the working of our faith, I want His presence to begin to fill your life, my life, and begin to fill this room when we get together. Amen. I want His presence here. I'm going to tell you something wonderful. And this is not a selfish thing, okay? So don't read into it. Because you think, oh, so that's kind of His idea. No, no. I'm just going to tell you what I've seen over the years of ministry. And I know I look very young, but I've been in the ministry a long time. I've watched people have questions. I've watched people struggle and wrestle with stuff. I've watched them come to my office again and again over time, and we talk things through and we pray things and we look at Scripture, and I listen to them tell the story, and I sit there in patience and listen to all their yeah, but. You know, you share a Scripture and a prayer, yeah, but, you know, and you yeah, but. You know, it's like they don't really want to hear the Word. Makes you wonder if they really want change or they just want to endear themselves to this thing and then slap on it, well, I guess it's God's will or it's my thorn and my flesh. Don't give me a break. I don't think any of us in this room equal Paul in our spirituality. We come and we go and I watch this. And then I watch something happen for some of these people. I don't know, they come to an altar or they have an experience somewhere where they pursue God genuinely with an open heart, unabandoned, uninhibited, and God meets them and they have His presence come upon them and His presence with them, and all of a sudden, all the stuff that was stirring and all the questions and all the struggle, it's just all of a sudden it goes right away. I can't explain it. All I know is that God and His presence answers a lot of questions and puts a lot of things to rest. And maybe He doesn't give them answers to their questions. It's just all of a sudden I had this experience with Him and I'm not worried about it anymore because I know Him. I desire His presence to fill this place, to fill this room, for church to be meaningful. Not that you punch the clock when you come in and you're watching the preacher and you're clocking, I got to punch out. This is too long. This is too much time. And you do your religious thing and say, here, God, like hope you're happy with leftovers. I want His presence to fill our lives. When people come to this place, listen, I know that we have got to walk with Him every day of the week, and I know that we have a responsibility to feed ourselves and feast on His Word and our prayers and His presence in our life. I get that. But when we come together, I want you to know that there are times that I need, people around you need, His presence to come in and refuel us, to fill us again, to energize us, to build us in faith, to get us thinking correctly. I want you to know some of the thinking correctly that has happened in my life, some of it has happened through the Scripture and the revelation. Some of it has come just revelation of His presence. And I don't know how He does it, but He does, and He comes upon us. And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm thinking better. Amen. It's what He does. He is Spirit. It's who He is. When He showed up, things happened. Things transpired. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. That's why He could say, the kingdom of heaven is near you. I want to be able to come into this place and not say with just some hope, but with a fact that says the kingdom of heaven is near you. It is at hand. He is among us today. I don't know what all of you carry with you. I don't know what you brought into this place. Whether you're visiting or you're here all the time or you kind of randomly come. Listen, I don't know everything that you brought with you. But I'll tell you this, God does know. And He is able to put things at rest. He is able to inspire. He is able to heal you even of cancer. He is able to get you thinking right. He is able to set captives free. I don't know what habit, I don't know what bondage has got you. I don't know what has taken hold of you. I'm going to tell you something. He can break it. I've watched Him break the spirit of alcoholism in people's lives. I've watched people recover from pornography. I've watched people become joyful and forgiving and healed inside who were abused, whether it was emotionally, sexually, any of those things. I've watched it happen for people. And it wasn't just because they counseled with me. I mean, that could be encouraging. It was about getting in His presence. I don't want us to be nominal. I don't want it to be check in and check out. I want Him to be in this place. When He begins to do that, such an excitement builds in a segment of people who respond and believe. I've seen this. I've witnessed it. I have felt it myself. That when Sunday comes, it's not, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, weekend's almost over. No, it is an excitement and anticipation to show up on Sunday because you're like, you know what, I don't know what God's going to do today. He's going to do something. He's been doing something in the church, and I've been responding, and I just watch people, this happened to people, this happened to my friends, I watch people get saved, and the strangers, and the, all this. And just all of a sudden, they're excited to get here. They're actually here early, and the seats at the front are taken first. I've watched it happen. I've seen it. There's two churches that I've been a part of in God's blessing in my life that have had wonderful moves of God's Spirit. Things that took us out of routine. Things that gave us an opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good through an experience with Him that matched His Word. That we grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord because we studied the Scripture and He spoke to us, and we grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord because we experienced Him in our life and among us. And it wasn't just in the sanctuary meetings. It was in small group meetings that were happening in the church, in ministries in the church. Here, this is how you know when revival's really taking place. Is that when you get together as the pastors of the church and you have what you call your normal meeting? That there's no fighting, no bickering, and you're spending more time in prayer, and you got the pastors and the staff falling out under the power of God. Not just in the service, but in a meeting during the middle of the week. I mean, I thought God was only God on Sunday mornings. I've been in those staff meetings where we prayed for one another, and then words of prophecy came for one another. Then revelation came. Then a move of the Spirit came upon us and said, hey, listen, we need to go across the hall over to the women's Bible study in the fellowship hall where, I don't know, maybe 40 women or something were having a study. And we just felt like, you know what? We need to go over there. And a couple of us felt like the confirmation, we need to go over there. And we interrupted their Bible study. They said, yeah, go ahead. We just want to start praying with you. And watch the presence and the power of God come into that room. I remember that happening in the Fellowship of Brightmoor. She was over at the study. The glory and the presence of God. This was such a privilege for me. Praying for my wife and watch the glory and the presence and the Spirit of God come upon my wife that she could not stand up. Watched it happen. I watched people in that room. I've watched people in the sanctuary, men and women alike of all ages. I watched our staff. Just the move of God came. His presence came. And you know what? People just kind of got happier. Not everybody, surely. There were some who were bent on, you know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is just being crabby. And if it's not listed in the gift of God's Spirit, then it's a gift of the Spirit, some other spirit. Listen, I want His presence. I want Him to be in this room. I want Him here for me, for you. I want people to come in here and find hope in His presence. And if people run out scared, I want them to run out scared for the right reasons. Not because, oh, there's a bunch of jerks and hypocrites, I'm out of here. I want them to leave for the right reasons. Because people will leave. Listen, I want everybody to stay. But, you know, that's a work of His Spirit. I want His presence in this room. I want His Spirit to come upon you. Some get excited after they experience God like that. They get excited to come to church, and others are like, I'm going, but I'm coming in just a little nervous and uncomfortable. If it's God, I should be comfortable. Listen, if it's God, your flesh will never be comfortable. Because our flesh fights against Him. Isn't that right, sister? I keep looking at Shirley because she got soul. I mean it, Shirley. And there's a reason. And there's a reason you got it. Because it's not just cultural. The Lord has seen you through some tough stuff. That's why she's got soul. That's why I got soul. It's not cultural. I got soul. For a Scandinavian Italian guy. It's about His presence that does something in our soul. Jesus shows up and people get free. People get healed. People find hope. That's what this is supposed to be about on Sunday. This is His show. This is not the Randy show. God forbid. This place would be empty. My wife wouldn't even come. And she loves me. This ain't about coming here and any of us showing something. This is about Him. This is about getting hold of Him and having Him come and making Him feel welcome. Where He sees faith, He begins to do things. Expressions of faith, outward expressions of inward decisions. So we're going to worship Him this morning. We're going to worship Him. We are going to call out to Him. We are going to sing to Him. If you are visiting or this is strange for you or new for you, listen, you can please join in, or if you want to stand there and observe, you can. But I'd encourage you, hey, join in. I mean, if you're among strangers anyhow, who cares what they think? I mean, really, when you get down to it, we use stuff like, well, I don't know anybody here. Well, listen, then you got people, once you're around here, you know people, and then you say, well, now I know people around here. See, the flesh, our flesh will continue to fight against God. This walk is of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, once you start to overcome the flesh, once, twice, in Revelation, and God meets with you, now it's a new program. It's a new pattern. You don't care anymore. You just don't. And I'm not talking about doing just foolishness for the sake of foolishness. I'm talking about faith-inspired actions and responses to God that sometimes lead us outside of what we consider nominal proper protocol. It is not proper and protocol for me to preach after the first chorus in our worship package. That's not the time to do it. The people haven't worshiped long enough to kind of, you know, to kind of get in the mood. Listen. It's about Him. It's about the reality of God. And the reality of God, not just in history, but in the present. So stand up all over this room. We are going to worship Him this morning. We are going to call out to Him. And I'll tell you this. I said we're going to pray with some people. Listen, if you are here and you're sick, come worship Him. I invite you to come to what we call the altar area. Come up here. Stand up here and worship Him. If it's a disease, you're just not feeling good. Maybe you're like, you know what? I deal with being crabby, or I deal with pride, or I've got addiction to something else, or there's this pattern in my life that's not right. Then get out from where you're standing or sitting and come across the front and say, God, this is what it is. Take this out of me. I need You to touch me. Touch me however You want. Listen, when they came to Him, they didn't say, this is what I need and how I want You to do it. That, my friends, is Western theology. Eastern theology is, I need You to touch me. Period. Do it how You want. If you're going to rub mud in my eye, rub mud in my eye. If you just got to say the word, then say the word. If you've got to touch me, then touch me. If you have to show me your glory and your presence overtake me and I can't stand, then I can't stand. But deliver me. I'm sick of the pride, or I'm sick of the bondage. I'm sick of the addiction. I'm sick of the history and things repeating themselves in my life of continual broken relationships. Jesus, show up in this room. I came here. I came to this altar. Do something. Heal my broken heart. It is not a time to sit back and be nominal. You can't keep God in this box. You think He's in there, but I want you to know something. He is not in there. He is not interested in there. He is not going to fit in there. The only box He fits in is in the parameters of His Word and who He is. That's it. He set His own boundaries. And He's filled with compassion. And He's filled with power. And He has authority over all darkness. He conquered death and sin and hell and sick. He did all that. He is now, because He has all authority and He's done all that, He likes to give it away. Oh, you're sick, healing. Oh, you're lost. I'm going to find you. You're hopeless. I'm going to give you hope. Oh, you're not behaving right. I'm going to give you correction, and I'm going to teach you how to live different. I'm going to dust you off and pick you up. I'm not going to condemn you. Listen, Jesus and God did not come to condemn us. It says this, the scripture, that we in our sin, when we were lost in our sin and stuck in our way, we were already condemned. That stuff condemned us. God solves condemnation. And the Bible says that whoever is in Christ, therefore there is now no condemnation. This isn't about you've been good, so come on up here and God owes you. Mm-mm. This is about faith in His grace and in His righteousness, because you and I can't do it on our own. So let's worship Him this morning. Sing to Him. Call out to Him. Come to this altar. Somebody might pray with you. Somebody might not. It's about getting a hold of God and God getting a hold of us. So whether you're visiting or you're here all the time, I invite you. Let's have a wonderful, meaningful time of a new step of faith right here in this room. Father, let Your power be present to heal the sick, break bondage, cleanse us from unrighteousness, to convict us of sin, the small things. Set us free. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.